The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Hour number two on this Monday, the 21st day of September. It is, I guess, technically, right, the last full day of summer. The autumnal equinox is sometime tomorrow. And off we go then into the deliciousness of fall. And oh, what a fall it is going to be. My goodness, are you ready? Keep your hands inside the vehicle. It's going to be an interesting ride. Our telephone numbers, our temperature goes up, our telephone number stays the same. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. As the topical temperature rises, the actual outdoor temperature begins to fall a little bit. We're still in the 80s for most of the week because, hey, it is Texas. We're going to have some good warm weather all probably just about till the election. And oh my, and of course the national temperature may in fact be bumped up a couple of degrees by the number of downtown areas that may well be on fire in the coming days, partially tongue in cheek. And it's funny because I was talking to some folks over the weekend. What floods people onto the streets more? Is it the race baiting and the incendiary Black Lives Matter rhetoric and the notion that the nation is an evil, racist hellhole and an only rioting and Democrats in elected office will change it, or a somewhat more wonky prospect of the nomination of a Supreme Court justice that requires, you know, caring about a little bit of a deep issue, our judicial and political process. But I'll tell you, some of the threats that came up over the weekend, we're going to burn it down if the Republicans even try, if they even try to bring forward a nominee. I'm going to make this clear to you. If you've got people in your life who are going, oh, this is hypocrisy. Republicans wouldn't do it in 2016, and now they will. Me. Well, there's a very, very simple answer to that, and I'm going to share what that is here in a second. 866-660-5759. Anything from the weekend is fine. Obviously, yesterday, I knew this would happen, and it was a possibility, and that is that the one cowboy kneels, I turn off my TV, and thus, apparently, miss one of the craziest comebacks in cowboy history. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. In fact, it was interesting. People said, hey, man, do you regret that decision now? What? Are you suggesting that I should watch a product that allows someone to disrespect my nation just so I can see a comeback in a football game? Now, I have this thing called the internet. I am aware of what happened. Must have been crazy. But no, I didn't watch a flipping minute of it. Not one. Nor will I until this nonsense stops. And someone totally asked me yesterday, you know, are you condemning the whole team for the actions of one player? I'm not condemning anybody. Vast majority of the team did not kneel. I'm thrilled for the day Dak apparently had. I'm thrilled for that crazy onside kick that Greg Zuerlein apparently did. That's good for them. They didn't kneel. But will I consume the product on my TV box? No, I will not until the owner of America's team starts to act like it. Dontari Poe must be informed in no equivocal terms that this kneeling thing will not be permitted on Jerry Jones' team. This is something Jerry either permits or he does not. If he does, I'm not going to watch them. Boop. That's simple. Some things are complicated. This is not. And in fact, the Supreme Court thing isn't that complicated either. Let me break that down for you. Let's unpack it. Let's unpack. Let's unpack things on the phone, 866-660-5759. Then we'll unpack some of the panicked media tone. I got to tell you, Mike and I were just talking and about the desperation on the left and how totally hosed they must feel. They're powerless. They feel like there's nothing they can do. You know what that's called? That's called conservatism for most of the last 70 years. That is called, well, welcome to my world for most of my adult life. As the world has leaned leftward, the country has leaned leftward, guided leftward, sometimes with the outright assistance of Republicans in high office. So if liberals for once are banging their heads against the wall going, oh my gosh, there's nothing we can do to stop this. Well, yeah, welcome to most of my adult life. And by the way, at all of those times in my adult life, have I, you know, cried and whined and, you know, made an ass out of myself about it? Nope. I've called for change. I've said, listen, stop electing liberal presidents. Stop electing liberal Republicans. So guess what? We got better. The change is real. And this, by the way, goes directly to the heart of why the fervor for Trump and the approval for Trump is so astronomically high among real conservatives. It's because the results tell the tale. The results mean everything. So here's all the explanation you need. Take all the political parties away from it, okay? Republican president, Democrat president. Republican Senate, Democrat president. Take it all away. Here's the way life works. If you have a president and a Senate of different parties, the nomination is not going to happen. Okay? 2016, Obama, oops, Republican Senate, not going to happen. If we have a Republican president who names somebody, Democrat Senate, not going to happen. Oh, and then we may whine a little bit. We may cry. We may stomp our feet. But guess what? Don't elect a Democrat Senate. If you got a Democrat Senate, they can stop a Republican nomination. So president and the Senate of different parties, nomination, not going to happen. Now, conversely, president and the Senate, same party, it's going to happen. And it should. It's called elections have consequences. If a Democrat were president and had a Democrat Senate right now and 40-some days to go before an election, heck yes, you go for it. Oh, and I'm sure we would have calls all over the world. Oh, we ought to wait for the election. Yeah, guess what? Elections have consequences. Democrat president, Democrat Senate. You guys go for it. I'll hate it, but because the Constitution's going to get savaged. But guess what? Elections have consequences. So what do we have right now? We have a Republican president and a Republican Senate. We're going to get a nomination, and it's going to be confirmed. Now, there's one other factor. There is an additional plank of logic to not doing a nomination. If you're about to have a wide open seat in the presidency, Obama was a lame duck. We were going to have a new president. No matter what, 2016, we were going to have a new president. That kind of adds to the logic of sitting tight for election day. Right now, we have an incumbent president who intends to stick around. He may not. That's up to everybody on November 3rd. But in the meantime, he should do what he was elected to do. And by the way, if we had a Democrat president, it'd be exactly the same rule. Democrat president, first term, Democrat Senate, full speed ahead. And any of us conservatives not liking that, well, guess what? That's what you get when you elect a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate. Maybe that should energize us somewhat to vote better and vote more. And by the way, as we get ready to grab calls, 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. Whom does this, let's talk about the energy factor. Whom does this who does it help on November 3rd? Because you've heard all weekend long, oh, this is going to take the presidential race and turn it on its ear. And oh, my gosh, everything's changed. Oh, my God. Well, I don't think it's really changed a whole lot, but it's going to light fires under. I should probably not use that metaphor. There are going to be plenty of fires lit literally in America's major cities, perchance, but it's going to light metaphoric fires, symbolic fires under a lot of people's voting ambitions, energies, and intent. This will absolutely energize the Trump base and remind Republicans of why they elected him in the first place. But it will absolutely also energize the Democrats. Because as I was just saying, to Democrats, it's like, well, we need a Democrat president and Democrat Senate. Let's go make one. It will absolutely fire them up as well. Now, which one of those enthusiasm factors is higher? I don't know. The overall enthusiasm factor for Trump is way higher than the enthusiasm factor for Biden. But I got to tell you, Democrats are once again, the literally incendiary image, pardon me, they are on fire with rage that Trump's even going to do this, that he's actually going to do what the Constitution calls for and what the election provides a clear path to do. And this could score Joe Biden some votes here. In terms of people going, oh, this cannot stand, rah, 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 rah. But here's where you get the X factor. How's this going to go? What's it going to look like on our TV box? Will Democrats make complete asses of themselves as they did with Brett Kavanaugh? They savaged him. They brutalized him. And this time they're going to do it to a woman. So let's see how this Democrat Party that is so pro-woman, so all in for women's rights and women's advancement, let's see how that looks as they absolutely savage Amy Coney Barrett or whoever. And listen, if it is Judge Barrett, she's a Catholic also, so you're going to get some good, healthy religious bigotry. Dianne Feinstein, you remember that during her confirmation hearings? The dogma is loud within you. What the heck is she talking about? Know exactly what she's talking about. That's an accusation that Judge Barrett would be unable to separate her religious faith from her judicial rulings. And in the seconds following that religiously bigoted accusation, Judge Barrett made clear that no judge's personal faith or personal politics has any business crowding a judicial decision. So for the 100th time, a justice voting to overturn Roe v. Wade isn't doing that because the justice is pro-life. A justice's feelings about abortion, political feelings about abortion, are meaningless. It's about what's in the Constitution. And there is no right to abortion in the Constitution. Roe v. Wade was fictionally and fraudulently found in 1973. All righty, 866-660-5759. We're in Fort Worth. Billy, Mark Davis, happy Monday. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Davis?
Good.
Are you okay today?
I'm great.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, the problem with America is Mr. Trump, because he's segregating and separating everybody. We wouldn't have this problem if Mr. Trump was not president.
What we got a problem. We wouldn't have what problem?
What is happening in America? He's segregating and separating the races.
In what way? Name one way in which he is segregating and separating the races.
Okay, I'm a minister, okay? Mm-hmm. And come from the black church, we believe more of Donald Trump is close to the devil than with God. But in the white churches, y'all believe
I got
Donald
to tell
Trump
you. Is- Are you in your black church, do you believe that abortion is right?
It's the person's choice.
Ooh, boy. And from what moral authority does that ambivalence, because it ain't the Bible. So where do you get that from?
All right, okay. First of all, I look at it as, can those persons be saved when they choose to have an abortion? And can you send them to heaven?
A murderer can be saved, Reverend. A murderer can be saved. That is bad logic. I'll ask you once again, from what document, from what authority, from what basis do you derive your ambivalence about killing children in the womb?
First of all, I'm not a pastor. I'm just a minister. Okay.
Gotcha. Then the same question stands.
It is the person's choice.
You've said that three times. I'm asking you, from where, from what religious, I've asked you, in your church, do you favor abortion rights? You've told me that you do, and I'm asking you why. From where in your church does that logic come?
You listening wrong. I don't favor abortion, but if the person chooses abortion, that's a
That is failure to protect. That is failure to protect the unborn. So I'm going to tell you, the black church in America is not pro-abortion. The black church in America is not pro-abortion.
No.
Now you can be. I mean, it's not unanimous. So this notion that Trump is the devil, blah, blah. And I got to tell you something. This notion in your church. You're sitting here calling somebody the devil because of a political difference? What portion of Scripture? I'm going to ask you this. What portion of Scripture says it's okay to smear somebody in demonic terms because of a political disagreement? What book is that? Is that Leviticus? Is it Proverbs?
Wait a minute. I know you didn't go there. What does Donald Trump be doing?
I went exactly there. And I'm going to go there every damn day that somebody gets on this show and tells me that they're going to wrap themselves in the cloth of the clergy or the pages of the Bible and then act the way they act toward the President of the United States. If you come on here and tell me you disagree with everything he does, that's fine. Disagree with his policy. Don't want him reelected. That is fine. But wrapping it in the holy pages of Scripture, that will not work. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Because maybe
we got a birthday.
You're gonna be the one that saves me.
Liam Gallagher of Oasis. Little Wonderwall. I gotta be frank with you.
You're my
never got these guys. There's nothing the matter with them. Champagne Supernova and other, you know, nifty records like that. But everybody, Oasis, it's like the new Beatles. Yeah, no. But hey, happy 48th birthday to Liam Gallagher. All right, into the newsroom we go, and then back to some of your calls, I'm guessing. 866, I do enjoy those. 866-660-5759. Agree, disagree. Obviously, we love you, appreciate you, bring it. And it's 660 AM, The Answer on a Monday morning. Here's Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Little Faith Hill with a cover of Piece of My Heart.
You know you got it if it makes you feel good.
You might think, hey, Janis Joplin, right? Indeed so. But it was a soul record first, written by Jerry Ragavoy and Burt Burns, and there was a recording of it by a woman named Irma Franklin in 1967, and Janis heard it and said, I got to have that, and put it on her Pearl album in 1968. Faith Hill covered it some years later, and Faith Hill is the birthday girl today. She is 53. All right, 866-660-5759. Back to your calls on the Ruth Bader Ginsburg vacancy. What do you want to do about that debriefing? And a number of other things from the weekend gone by. We are in Midlothian. Susie, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Monday. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing superb. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, I wasn't planning on calling, but I heard what you said to that guy who is, I don't know, some kind of minister and trying to robe himself like you suggested in his religiosity to support abortion. I just thought you did an excellent job. Okay. I'm African-American. I reckon that guy was African-American. I guess he was. And I don't even know if that has anything to do with anything. I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you're very kind. Susie, thank you. I love all people. I love my buddy Billy. I talk to him every once in a while. And I always particularly value the folks who call me who disagree with me. I mean, I can sit here and take calls all day from people who love everything I say, agree with everything. But the fact that people listen who disagree with me about some things or even everything is an incredible gift. I appreciate it. They show me honor and respect by listening. I want to show them honor and respect by giving them the opportunity to say what they wish. But then there are two rules around here. I guess it's the same rule. I want people to make me back up what I believe and back up what I say. And in turn, you're going to get the chance and, in fact, face the requirement to do the same thing. A couple of things about this, because I don't tend to talk a lot about callers after they're gone, and this is really not about him. And I love him, and I love old people, et cetera, et cetera. But so let's just speak broadly. When I mentioned that the black church does not favor abortion rights, I mean that institutionally. Institutionally. Find me, 100 black pastors at random, and are they going to be majority? Will 51 or more of them be pro-choice? Nope. Now, the congregation may feel differently. Find me 100 people seated in a black church. Might you find at random a majority of pro-choice? Maybe. But it has never really been the politics of abortion that has driven black voters to the Democrat Party. It's been a whole lot of other things. And what we have here and what I think adds to the tension of 2020 is that President Trump is doing, and an energized Republican Party is doing a better job of reaching out to black voters than any Republican Party in my lifetime. And any president in my lifetime. And that's terrifying to the left. Absolutely terrifying to the left. And as far as the difference between disagreement and slander, the difference between policy differences and personal hatred, those are differences that must be identified. So anybody, giving up a list of things that's on the Trump agenda that they think are just terribly wrong, come on, bring it all day. But the notion that, in my church, we think Trump's the devil? Excuse me? Come on, man, as Joe Biden might say. We're in Tyler. Dennis, hi. Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Monday.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Just wanted to compliment you on keeping your composure with the gentleman who called himself a minister. And, I think he needs to understand
I don't like a lot of talking about people after they're gone because they're not here anymore. But make a broad point and you're totally fine. Go ahead.
Okay. If you separate churches and call them black churches and white churches, what are you essentially doing?
Well, let's spend a moment on that because this is a conversation I've had over the years. Is there something separatist, racist or whatever about a black church or a Hispanic church? I've never felt that way for two reasons. Number one, a church that welcomes people who tend to live in the same neighborhood is always a good idea. And a lot of black churches are in almost exclusively black neighborhoods. So it's just the folks who happen to live there. Number two, is there a black church that would tell white people you can't come in here? Generally, no. They're as glad to welcome people of any racial stripe as any. And then the third thing is there such a thing as black culture? Is there such a thing as Latino culture? Is there some shared experience? And the answer to that is yeah. Yeah, there is. So for those three reasons, I've never looked at, the black church as some horrible separatist thing. I do talk about separatism a lot, where it seems like the whole notion of civil rights in the 60s was about inclusion. Let's welcome everybody along. Let's bring everybody in together. And these days there does seem to be outright racial hostility and an attempt to show hostility toward white people and set up this Berlin Wall between people of color and non-people of color. And I think that's poison.
I think it would do the world a lot of good to understand that God created one race, the human race.
Yeah.
And when people take that to heart, I think we'll see a change in the country.
Amen with a capital A. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. We are in Arlington. Ryan, Mark Davis, happy Monday. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
Fantastic. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk about this RBG seat that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I gained it out this weekend with a few of my political strategist buddies.
Yes.
And there's really only one option for the Republicans. And it's nice to see yesterday Ted Cruz published an editorial that he said the exact same thing, basically. But the only choice for the Republicans that's safe is for Trump to nominate and the Senate to fill it immediately as quick as possible before the election, hopefully.
Yep. Because it'll look, I mean, it's funny, the election, excuse me, the election's not the ultimate deadline. The inauguration is, because they'll all be in office until, you know, the beginning of January, January 20th for the president, January, first week of January for the Senate. But that would really look dicey to have a president have the process go when Biden just won. God help us, that doesn't happen. But the election is the practical deadline, and it's 40-some days to do it. Can that be done? Absolutely.
Right, right. But I was thinking that one of the reasons that nobody seems to be talking about is the fact that the Democratic media establishment is going to push voters. Number one, they're going to push people to act out and agitate, which is going to happen. But I don't think that's necessarily ultimately a bad thing. But if Trump doesn't fill the seat by the election, that's going to drive out voters to the narrative of the Republicans are going to take women's rights away.
Exactly right.
And if that seat is filled before the election, it diffuses that, and the momentum is with the Republicans.
And I'll say there's another thing is millions of Republican voters who have been enjoying this presidency for doing what he actually said he was going to do. If all of a sudden we get into a situation of thumb twiddling this Lisa Murkowski, this Susan Collins, we really ought to just wait. Are you high? We have this is an opportunity to bring constitutionalist justice into a seat where, and God bless her memory, where a judicial tyrant had once sat. And to fail to do that is an offense to the Republican Party, an offense to conservatism. It's an offense to logic. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. 846. Terry, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Mark.
Hey. Good. What's up?
Long time no speak.
You all doing all right?
Yes, fine. Been working from home a lot, so I don't hear you as often. But I've been staying up on things, and I absolutely agree with you completely. We need to get the Supreme Court justice seated, you know, by the time we vote on November 3rd, or all hell will break loose.
Yes,
and
it will.
And they may... You know, and assuming that the vote will be contested, we got to have all nine justices.
Well, and thank you. Here we are an hour and 47 minutes into the show. You're 100% right. In view of the fact that the election, with all the election mischief, we're going to have, this may make the year 2000 and Bush versus Gore look like a walk in the park. And we can't have a deadlockable 4-4 Supreme Court. You might be thinking, yeah, but won't there really only be three actual liberals? Yeah, two words, John Roberts. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And so it's absolutely Trump's right and his duty. And you know darn well the Democrats would jump at the chance.
Of course they would. And if they ever do, if God help us, we got a Democrat president, Democrat Senate, and another Supreme Court vacancy arises, of course they'll have the right to do it. I will not be fond of the result, but on principle, I will obviously support their right to move forward with what elections have consequences, what their voters would want them to do. Terry, thank you. Appreciate it very much. 848 in Dallas. Zach, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Monday.
Hey, Mark. To me, I can't wait until Judge Bear is confirmed. And this is a payback. And this is payback time. Just think of what they did to General Petraeus and Peter Pace and the Marines, to Robert Bork, to Clarence Thomas, to Brett Kavanaugh. This is payback time. That's how I see it.
Well, there, and it'll be. Do you believe if it is indeed Amy Coney Barrett, and that she is the most named of about two or three women, whoever it is, do you think that this nominee will be savaged and brutalized as badly as Kavanaugh was?
Yes.
I do too.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be very unseemly for the Democrat Party. The pro woman. Oh, we need more women in positions. Oh, one of the great things about Ruth Bader Ginsburg was that she was a woman. Oh, yeah. Well, here comes another woman to replace her. And they are going to refer to her as if she were demon spawn. And that's going to be awesome optics. There's that word again. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to show the intellectual and moral bankruptcy of the Democrat Party, what they're going to do to Judge Barrett or whoever it winds up being. All right. And let me tell you, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let me break. And then when we come back, let me give you the couple of two, three names that are sort of at the front of the buzz list. what the truest sentence in America is, Trump may surprise us. Indeed so. But if it's not Amy Coney Barrett, let me tell you it might be. 849 Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Little Super Tramp and Sister Moonshine. So at the head of the list is Amy Coney Barrett, who sits on the circuit, the 9th, whatever circuit is in Chicago. She was born and raised in New Orleans, got her undergrad from Rhodes College in Memphis, some turf I know well, but then went on to get her law degree at Notre Dame. She's 48. She's remarkable, and many people believe that she has the inside track. Look for some absolute anti-Catholic bigotry coming from the left if she is the nominee, because they will portray her, as they did with Scalia, as unable to separate her personal feelings or faith-based feelings on abortion with how she would rule on the Supreme Court. She has said unequivocally in a number of settings that she is acutely aware that it is her job as a justice to keep her personal faith, her personal politics out of her rulings. So if it's not Amy Coney Barrett, who might it be? There are two of like about 10 names that are out there flitting around. There are two that I think, if it's not Amy Coney Barrett, I think it will be either a woman named Barbara Lagoa. She was named the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta just last year. Before that, she was the first Hispanic woman and the first Cuban-American woman on the Supreme Court of Florida. Hello, battleground state. So there's Barbara Lagoa. And then the third name is a woman named Allison Jones Rushing. Judge Rushing has been on the 4th Circuit Court of Appeals, where is in Richmond, Virginia, and she's been there since her Senate confirmation, and that was March of last year. So I think it's one of those three, and we'll all find out, apparently, with just no regard for talk shows, on either Friday or Saturday. So we'll have another weekend of waiting for all. And that, there may be some wisdom in that, because if a meteor is going to strike the earth with, as soon as President Trump breathes the name of this very fortunate and very unfortunate woman, this very fortunate and then very unfortunate woman, fortunate because she's going to be on the Supreme Court, unfortunate because she is going to taste the wrath of the left. It's going to be brutal for her, and we're going to find out how tough she is. And I think the answer is going to be pretty tough, and it's a toughness she will need, whoever she may be, on the Supreme Court. All righty, 858, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.